You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 6 minutes after six. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're with us. If at any point in the program you think, I got to get involved in this this thing, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Everybody survive another night of crazy storms. Reports are, and Jamie, were you hit with any tennis ball size hail?
Golf ball.
That was what was dropping in Madison all last night. Golf ball size, then tennis ball size in other parts of the state. Craziness.
It was very crazy. And it was a really weird day yesterday, right? Because we'd have rain on and off, and then it would just stop. The sun would come out for a little bit. Then the clouds would roll back in, and then they'd kind of part for a little bit. So you'd get a little bit more sun, and then all of a sudden it would start sprinkling on you. And then all of a sudden it was just storms across Madison. And we had golf ball size hail at our house. Very strong winds. It did a really weird thing, though, where the severe thunderstorm warning was issued. Almost right. Immediately after that, there was a tornado warning that was issued. And then it was like a little bit like an eye of a hurricane, where it just got quiet for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, it revved right back up. It was a very, very strange day. Parker, is that on your side of... Because you and I are relatively on the same side of town.
Yeah, I don't think we got any hail on our side here. But we did... I did notice, too, like, kind of the eye of the hurricane. Then it was like...
It was very weird.
It was almost like green outside.
Yeah.
It was very...
That's always... The sky turns that color, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is serious.
Ugh.
But your whip didn't get damaged by hail?
Parker, no, I was very worried this morning when I walked out, because I'm going to be honest, I was in the basement the whole time just watching the Brewers, and then I came out this morning and went, oh, please don't be shattered, please don't be shattered, and we're good.
Yeah, we haven't looked at our two vehicles that sat outside because they were in the front and it rained, because it continued to rain pretty much most of the evening relatively hard. It wasn't a light shower by any means. So hopefully that doesn't mean that people are flooding this morning, because there has been a lot of rain, as was expected with this particular system. So hopefully basements are dry. Nobody's having any issues that way.
Well, up near Portage in Columbia County, the sheriff is saying that the Wisconsin River is expected to reach flood stage by tomorrow. Today, there are more thunderstorms possible from mid-afternoon into tonight. Damaging winds, hail up to an inch, and lightning is expected. And additional heavy rain will continue the flood risk. So not out of...
Yikes.
Not out of the woods yet. Yesterday was the second day in a row that Madison was under that stage three warning, which is not good. Now, Parker, I saw some footage from the Brewers game. Did they ever stop it? Because I know the tornado warning came basically right over the top of AmFam.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching the maps, and I'm like, hey, that's kind of a direct path right over the field right to downtown Milwaukee. That doesn't look good at all.
For the first time, I think, that I can remember, they played the video of, like, if there's a tornado, this is how you seek shelter. But they did it before the game.
But so they didn't stop the game?
They didn't stop the game
at
all. I think the warning was probably, like, right at the start. And they were just like, meh.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Not that many people came.
I haven't looked. Did they win?
No.
They
gave up three runs in the ninth inning.
Yikes.
And then three runs in the tenth inning to lose.
Oh, it was such a promising start to the season.
Yeah. You know, somebody said to me yesterday, they were like, God, they've lost six games in a row, but it feels like a lot more than that. And I'm like, well, that's a third of our season so far, so it feels like we've lost a third of our games so far in a row. Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
Brian's just smiling because he's like, I'm a White Sox fan.
I was yawning, actually. I take no joy in a Brewers loss. If they lost to the Cubs, I'd have been miserable. But now I'm happy. I'm I listen, both teams are struggling.
They are struggling.
There's no joy in Mudville today. And literally everywhere across Wisconsin is Mudville.
It's disgusting outside right now. And here's the thing, too. When you go outside in the morning, right, it feels very reminiscent of something you would feel in late June, early July. Yeah. Because it's already very warm. It's already very humid this morning. Even when you're sitting in your car, you get that condensation inside just because
of... Which is the worst.
Because it's so warm already outside. So this feels, I don't know, to me, somebody who's been, you know, immersed in the weather world for a long time, not necessarily by choice, but because of who I married, this feels very early to me that we would already be having this type of weather.
Well, that last night, as I was listening to some of the weather folks spewing on about dew points, which I still don't quite get, but I know they were in the 60s. And he was like, yeah, this is usually like July, August kind of dew points. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's April. Well, and I found out yesterday, this was good news because it got so humid yesterday. Found out my air conditioner in the car doesn't work.
That
was nice. It was working at the end of the season because it was fine. I fired it up yesterday because I was like, man, it was one of those days where it was warm, but it was too sticky to drive with the windows down. It was just Well, they ended up driving with the windows down because it was much better than hot air blowing on me.
So in your world, because you're obviously in Illinois, have you guys had this type of weather that we're having in Wisconsin? Or?
Yeah, we had a rough night last night, too. A lot of severe thunderstorms, lightning. As you get a little farther north, up near the state, at the state line was where things were really, really crazy. But it did dip down into the city, and one of the dogs... I had to be sedated again. And
poor girl.
As I woke up this morning, I found her, she had dragged her pillow out of the one room, but was not laying on it. It was laying on the floor next to her pillow. And just looked like she finally passed out of fear.
I feel sorry for her, but that's like a scene out of your college days, right? Where you can't actually make it to where you want to be. And this is where you just end up.
It's like, wait, why did you pull it out and then not lay on it? You pulled it out, you blocked the door, then you just laid down on the floor.
You had her doped up on a calming medicine. And then out of the fear and the anxiety, she probably just passed out.
Thank goodness, though, because there's a bigger discussion to have about climate change and the severity of storms. And
of course,
now I always start to get into, as we get closer to the summer and hurricane season starts, and you're like, what's that going to look like for the Southeast and the Gulf Coast and all of that? And, you know, El Niños and El Niños.
Yeah. And I think that's just it, too. I mean, you know, I don't want to do the whole back in my day, but essentially the weather patterns have changed. They are not the same as they were 10, 15 years ago and even beyond. And, you know, when you're talking about the potential for even Tornado Alley shifting, tornado season extending into further into the year and then also starting earlier in the year, these aren't things that just happen because, right? Like, weather patterns aren't going to change that drastically just because there's something that's obviously changing them and affecting them to this degree.
Well, yeah, it's again, going back to watching the weather, monitoring things everywhere last night, and repeatedly it's like, yeah, we don't see these kind of storms usually this early, this severe of a storm. We don't see tornadoes like this early. It's like, okay, well,
yeah.
Something's going on. And our poor producer Frank did not sleep. His air conditioner in his house was broken. Now I didn't turn the air on then in the house.
Oh
I
no, ours
the
has
windows.
Been on for about a week already.
Really? Oh well, your allergies.
Well, Corey's also here's the thing too. My husband grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So he does not deal with warm weather well at all. And in fact, it was on our honeymoon. We went up to the UP, saw family, did a little touring around of the UP on our own. The day we left, it was May 1st. And this is not a joke. Back in South Dakota, where we were living at the time, it was already going to be 95 degrees. Very normal for South Dakota in early May. That's not out of the ordinary. In the UP, it was going to be 78 degrees. And as we were leaving to head home, his family was in a complete panic because it was actually
they
going
don't have
to,
air conditioning.
They
right?
don't have air conditioning. They had to get the fans out of storage, and it was going to be over 65 degrees on May 1st, and it was a complete panic to the point where nobody even said goodbye to us. They were like, "We've got to go get the fans out of the shed," and we were like, "Okay, we'll see you in like 6 months, I guess." And we took off because that's very, very much how it is wow. for several people in the UP because they're just not used to this weather. So as soon as it gets about 65 degrees, my husband is in also a complete panic, checking thermostats, making sure that things are going to run. And the first sign that it gets 70 degrees, our air conditioner goes on, just stays on then for the season.
See, and it's got to be like mid-80s. That's when I'll turn it on, unless it's super humid. Because I like the breeze. I open all the windows, not because our air doesn't work.
Right.
I just like getting that breeze, that fresh air through, air out the house, especially after the winter. Get all that dog smell out of there.
Right. It's like cleansing the house after being closed up, right?
Get the wind through here.
No, we are very much a not by my choice. I would be okay. Even with allergies, I can take enough allergy medicine because I also appreciate fresh air, breezes, all of that. Yeah. But no, he just absolutely cannot handle it. He almost gets – it's almost like he starts having a mini panic attack about the fact that I've got to get the air conditioner uncovered. I have to do this. So 23 years of marriage next week, I just go, okay – you go do what you need to do.
Wow.
Some things are not worth the fight. Listen, you know this.
I like air conditioning, but and it's weird. Up here I have it. The downstairs stays nice and cool. Up here does not stay cool in my workspace.
Hey, I want to change the subject because I don't know if you know,
but it's boring.
It's tax day as well. I don't know if we can spice up tax day with weather very much.
I was going to say we're going to go from weather to tax day.
So yesterday, in the middle of the storms yesterday, my elder son calls. He did his taxes earlier this week. Come to find out that because of the Affordable Care Act and changes and hours and not being a student anymore, he now owes $900 to the federal government. So in the middle of the storms yesterday, he calls me and he's like, "I really hate to bother you, and I'm so sorry because I know I screwed this up." And I said, "What did you screw up?" And he says, "Well, I owe the IRS money." I said, "Well, that's not on you." But I said, "Could we maybe talk about it when there's not golf balls hitting my picture window? Is that maybe the appropriate time?"
Does he only call at inappropriate times?
Yes,
he called you the night before at 11 o'clock when you were asleep. And at that point, somebody better be dying if you're calling me at 11 o'clock.
Because it's convenient for him at that moment in time. So that's when he calls. I'm very used to it with him. Again, kind of like the air conditioning saga of our house, I pick my battles. I don't fight everything. And I said, "Let me call you back after the storms go through." Well, by the time the storms went through Madison, then he had storms in Milwaukee, so I don't know if anybody ever connected because I eventually went to bed.
Well, listen, just pay the money. There's nothing you can do.
Mom and Dad will help with the money always.
Sometimes
right?
You just owe, or just file today anyway, and then they'll work out a payment plan.
We're going to talk more about taxes and delays lack thereof here in Wisconsin a little later on. In fact, later at 6:50 this morning, we are going to be joined by David Casey, the Secretary of Wisconsin Department of Revenue, to let you know everything you need to know about tax day today. So,
wow. Continuing our complete obsession with money and politics, has Tom Tiffany been taking a lot of money from We Energies? We'll get into that and more as Daybreak kicks into high gear. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 6:19 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Does it concern you what companies donate to what candidates? This comes up all the time. Wendy's donates a lot of money to Trump, or Target does this, or does it change your mind at all? Does it make you question? Well, in some cases, it wouldn't matter anyway, because if you need power, We Energies is We Energies. And so there was a question about, has Tom Tiffany been accepting a lot of money from We Energies? And so the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Wisconsin Watch got together and they did a little investigation, and they came up, the short answer is yes. Tom Tiffany has received about $11,500 from the political action committee linked to We Energies. Now, we were talking about this yesterday when former candidate for Supreme Court, Schimmel, said, yeah, I don't think these are good rules. I don't think they should be able to just put money into the party committee and have that money passed out. And now this is a PAC. It's a little bit different, but there's still all this money. And again, it comes up. So state and federal records show the WEC Energy Group PAC shares an address with WEC Energy Group, which houses We Energy, the state's largest utility provider. Boy, this sounds like something that you would see in a movie like right. Deep Throat, where they're following. All right, we've got
the
Shell Corporation. We've got this. We've got this. So Tom Tiffany they've made four donations to him totaling $2,000, which in the whole scheme of things is nothing. It's really, it's nothing. So they did that in 2010, 2012, 2016, 2019, when he was a state lawmaker. I don't know. Does this bother you at all, Jamie, or is it just, this is business as usual? And it's not, there's records of it. Nobody was trying to hide it. It just came out.
Well, and to be clear, this PAC also contributes to Democrats as well.
Yes.
In fact, it's given six donations totaling $136,000 to Governor Tony Evers. What I think bothers me more about this than anything is this is lobbying, right? Not uncommon, sure, not illegal, but it's how PAC money essentially works. And right now, We Energies, they are not the ones building any of the data centers in the state of Wisconsin. However, they are the company that is going to, those data centers are going to need a ton of power. Who do you think is going to give that power and be part of that infrastructure? Well, it turns out that
it's
We Energies.
It's not gerbils on a wheel.
No, it's not in this particular case. It happens to be We Energies, along with other electric companies. We Energies happens to be one of the bigger ones, though. So I think we shouldn't and we can't question the legality of it. And we probably, I don't want to pick on Tom Tiffany too much, simply because the Democrats also benefit from this.
Sure.
But I think having a bigger conversation about what that lobbying money does and what it means and how it basically continues to shape our politics. Because this PAC money is essentially being given to both parties because these companies need some sort of favor down the road, right? That's sure. That's how this works. And I think that's the bigger question that people should be asking. Are we okay with this type of lobbying taking effect, especially when it's something maybe like the data centers that are contributing to higher energy prices, again, which your money goes to We Energies for, right?
Well, correct. And I think the focus is on Tiffany now because the Democrats don't have one candidate.
They don't have a front runner
yet. It's like, okay, once we get the final battle from after August, we get the final candidates, then it's like, okay, Who's been benefiting more from these lobbying groups, from these PACs? And what do those PACs stand to gain? Then you're going to see, I hope at least, you're going to see these kind of findings for both sides.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm always searching for a bigger word than the easy word. I just go with the easy word. I like to use words that impress, and then I forget them.
It's early in the morning, Brian. It's early in the morning.
It is,
go with what the
still,
brain wants. Go with that.
You know. Anyway, they're going to show us what these people are getting, and then we're going to move on from there.
But I think the political influence is what voters need to be most concerned about, because and let's be realistic, any politician that is receiving PAC money is going to make decisions, even if they're also considering people, they're also going to make decisions that benefit those that PAC money, right? Because that's how they're running their campaigns at this particular point. And
it's a little quid pro quo, as we like to say.
Yes.
And by we, I mean nobody.
And I did want to go back to a point you made and also say that you mentioned Brad Schimmel and the fact that this weekend he was talking about that law that, you know, where their money shouldn't be trickling into these campaigns. I just want to remind everybody once again, because it's important to remember that that was actually a law passed by Scott Walker, former governor. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page as to how we got here.
And Brad Schimmel also said, well, I used it because it's the law, of course, but I didn't, you know, I don't think it's fair now because it's working against us.
You got it to compete. You happen to have a big coffer of money. He and Susan Crawford had big coffers of money.
Yes, but huge.
But we know that Brad Schimmel's was also coming from PACs endorsed by Elon Musk or associated with Elon Musk. And I think that's the other thing, too. When you look at this PAC money, again, no party is not willing and participating in this system. But at the same time, you also have to wonder where some of the PAC money is actually coming from, you know, and I think that's a bigger question, too. And when we can't pinpoint it, I think that raises doubts about maybe what some of the true intentions are, not only from the PACs, but maybe from those candidates.
The other day, you brought up the Electoral College, and I said, oh, here we go again, the Electoral College. And then I'm perusing the press yesterday, and I come across a story that we may be getting closer to the popular vote deciding a winner in the presidential election than we were before. And Wisconsin is involved in this, not chicanery, but this little plan that might actually finally do what people have been calling for a long, long time. We'll get into that. And I want to know from you, after the last presidential elections, is it time to adopt the popular vote as the final word? This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you are dry. Hopefully the storms have been kind to your area. But if you're in Madison listening on WMDX, Appleton or Oshkosh listening on WISS, Wausau on WXCO, or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap, we're glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and just stay, as Jamie likes to say, weather aware today. We're not out of the woods yet. More storms coming in this afternoon into this evening. Possibility of them being severe again. So just keep an eye to the sky and keep listening to the radio, and we'll tell you what's happening. Should we finally go to the popular vote as the final word for electing a president? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We could be one step closer. Mm-hmm. This is of getting rid of this pesky Electoral College. A national majority vote for president is one step closer because Virginia's governor, Abigail Spanberger, signed a national popular vote bill into law. She joined an interstate compact with 17 other states in the District of Columbia. And you may be saying, why are you telling us this? Because Wisconsin is one of those states in the 17-state compact. So under this compact, states would assign their presidential electors to the winner of the popular vote, regardless of the results within the state. It don't matter. You win the vote, you get it. It takes effect when states representing a majority of electoral vote pass the legislation and thus would determine the winner of the presidential contest. Right now, we've got 200. They have 270 of the 538 votes.
They need 270 of the
they
five.
They need 270
yep,
of the five.
Two,
okay.
And they have 200.
Oh, they have 222.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Got it.
So they're a little short. They're a little short. But I
so
think
far,
this is
one more state.
This is promising. It's promising. And every state that has so far enacted the compact has Democratic electoral majorities. And so, of course, you're talking about states like California, New York, and Illinois. But as you mentioned, Wisconsin, also part of that, including there's other swing states involved already as well, including Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania, too. I find this, here's the thing The Electoral College was created in 1787, right? This was a compromise because the forefathers were essentially trying to figure out who should pick the president, who should pick Congress, who should pick the people. They weren't really fully trusting either option, so they landed somewhere in the middle, which was the Electoral College, right? Because they allowed the states to choose the electors, and those electors then picked the president. And they had their reasons behind it. One of them is because they wanted to protect the smaller populated states, because if everything was based purely on population, then those larger states were going to dominate elections. It also forced candidates to build support across different regions, not just the big cities. And it was also, this is also the part that people don't really want to talk about, but it's part of our history. The Electoral College was also tied to how political power was structured at the time, including the compromises around slavery. So we don't like to talk about those things. Hello.
That never happened, right?
Right. But 1787 was a long time ago. And things have evolved.
Parker, that's even older than me.
No. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I thought you signed the Declaration of Independence.
I did.
He was there.
Look under John Hancock. He actually wrote over my big signature.
Ugh.
But things have changed. The country has evolved. And I think it's time to look at a different system than what's currently in place. We are the only democratic nation in the world that still uses the Electoral College system of electing a president.
Well, and two of our elections in the 21st century, the person who got elected did not win the popular vote. That's George W. Bush in 2000 and Trump in 2016. They did not win the popular vote. And according to Pew Research, another poll, take it how you want. But from 2024, this poll came out. 63% of Americans said they would replace the Electoral College with a national popular vote. 35% opposed the change. We got the majority of people behind this. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We heard nonstop after, that Hillary won the popular vote, but Donald Trump is still president. And it doesn't, I understand all the past rationales. If I lived in a less populated state, I would probably feel different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it goes.
Right.
I understand. You live in a less populated state. Your vote still counts.
Right.
It doesn't count proportionally more than my vote just because I live in a populated state. That's not fair either.
No.
If this many people voted for one person, and it's simple. It goes back to grade school. It goes back. You get enough votes, you win. That's how it's supposed to be. So the fact that we're giving preferential treatment now to people who live in less populated states, just to be fair. Well, what about all the people who voted for the person who got the most votes? What's fair about that? It's not fair. It sounds very childish, but that's, you know what I mean. The weight of a vote should be the same no matter where you vote.
It's never been a perfect system. It's always been a negotiated system. I mean, the Electoral College is a negotiated system. A popular vote system would be a negotiated system. It doesn't necessarily make it wrong. And if a candidate is winning the popular vote, that to me feels more like the will of the people than the Electoral College, which is being thrust upon us from some 1787 law. We have several texts rolling in this morning. Tom says, yes to the national vote issue. It makes sense as long as the states have two senators. He's all for the idea. Thank you so much for the text. Frank from Poinette says, listening on WMDX, get rid of Citizens United. Yes, on popular vote and ranked choice voting. And see, ranked choice voting, I think, is a bigger discussion. And I'm a ranked choice voting proponent. And that's for a discussion for another day. But Len also says, yes, seems the Electoral College system is another form of a weasel clause. If you want to chime in on the conversation this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. The question we're asking you this time around, after the last few presidential elections, is it time to adopt the popular vote as the final word? We'd love to hear from you this morning.
Yes, I think
this is actually a simple question. And I think I feel like the answer is simpler than a lot of people make it. Here's the thing that I think why there's consternation, especially from the Republicans. They don't win the popular vote very often. And if you go to a popular vote system, that means they are going to lose more elections. And
well, maybe it would make them rethink some of their policies. Perhaps that's the price you pay when you realize most of the people are not behind you. Now, there are some, or go ahead and finish your thought. No,
I was just going to say, I mean, if you move to the straight popular vote, it's going to definitely change the math for Republican candidates. And that's actually looking at numbers over time. That's not just opinion, by the way. In recent election, Democrats have consistently won the national popular vote, even in races that they lost, as you rightly pointed out, Brian, right? 2016, 2000 stand out for sure. So if you flip the system to purely that popular vote, you're talking about a system where turnout is big population centers like New York City, California, maybe even in Milwaukee. Major metro areas are going to carry more weight, and that's going to obviously favor the Democrats. I think a popular vote system, though, also engages more voters because of the
election. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And I think the electoral vote system alienates people because you know that if you're in a very rural area and maybe you're a blip in your rural area, right, voting for a candidate that not everybody in your area supports, it's probably not going to matter. And I think that dissuades a lot of people from actually getting to the polls and casting a vote.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to get everybody's vote then feels a lot more weightier. It's like, this is actually going to work. And I go back to it. Tom had texted in about two senators from each state. Again, I don't know if that's the best way for representation either. I would love to live in a state with very small population, but I also know, look at the size of Wisconsin and the population of Wisconsin. Now, granted, there's a lot of rural areas where there's a smaller population, but Wisconsin has a lot of people. Then you go to Wyoming. Wyoming doesn't have that many people. Do we need the same amount of representation from a piece of land, basically, that's not populated, as opposed to a bigger piece of land or a smaller piece of land that has a lot more people in it? I think two is the minimum.
Sure.
But then it would grow the size of the Congress, and it would make bipartisanship probably. I don't even know if it would make it more difficult. Probably not. It'd just be more people screaming and yelling, a lot more strongly worded letters being fired off. But I don't know if everything can't always be equal and shouldn't always be equal when it comes to representation.
If you're using,
not when it comes to rights and things like that.
If you're using ranked choice voting, it would be more equal. It would be more fair. Just want to point that out.
Okay, fair enough.
But at the same time, I agree with you because I think in a state like Wisconsin, too, not all areas are created equal, right? You have some hubs that are very progressive, very blue voting, very liberal. You have other hubs of this state that are very right-leaning voters. It's very conservative. So the politics doesn't play from one corner of the state to the other. And I think people are entitled to having fair representation based on their values and their views. And then, of course, I understand that there's also population that goes into it. I grew up in South Dakota, right? I mean,
there's nobody there.
There's no absolutely kidding. Nobody there. And you have one senator representing the entire state. And what's interesting about that is you have two polar opposite things happening in South Dakota. It's bookended by more liberal cities on both ends where all your population is. Everything else in the middle is very small, rural, or farmland. So it's not a fair representation when you look at it like that.
Well, look, there's a lot of issues going on here, but I do like, I'm going to, and they're all worth talking about and they're all worth considering. I am a fan of the popular vote. I think that's just, then there's no debate. Well, there'll still be debate about all the votes not being counted and mail-in vote and all the usual garbage that goes along with somebody who loses, but it's much easier. And it also, you know what? It's also going to stop the predictions coming out 2 minutes after the polls close on the East Coast, people declaring winners when people are still voting in most of the country, because we can see, oh, this we're at this number. And, you know, maybe the whiteboard will have to change, because now instead of just we're not just doing states, we're doing actual numbers.
Right.
And it might take another day or two to get the results. And you know what? That's okay. The president doesn't get sworn in the day after the election, so we got time. If it takes a week, who cares?
That's another thing about the European system on my soapbox for a minute that I appreciate. Why do we have such
You ought to just move to Europe.
Why
then,
do we
so
have
great.
Such a long transition of power? Literally, in other countries, they use the popular vote, they have a dedicated day for voting, and within a week, that person is then in office.
Yeah, but how are you going to give out all your pardons and do untold damage in your last 2 months of in office?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, I'm thinking too far ahead. I didn't think
Stop
far enough.
Thinking. Did you think far enough to file your taxes? Because it is tax day. David Casey, the Secretary of the Department of Revenue here in Wisconsin, joins us after this. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:48 on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. Hopefully you are having a great Wednesday on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Well, the saying goes that the only things certain in life are death and taxes. And if you're listening today, you escaped the first. But since today is April 15th, you cannot escape the second. Yes, today is tax day. To answer some questions about your taxes, we're joined by David Casey, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Mr. Casey has nearly 30 years of professional experience working with state tax agencies to help improve taxpayer service and compliance. He was appointed Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue by Governor Evers in April 24. He had been the Deputy Secretary of the DOR from 2019 to 2022. David, thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate your time and your expertise. So the big question that I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I just read a piece about it in Forbes, they're saying hundreds of thousands of taxpayers are seeing delays tied to how the IRS is handling refunds this year. So what's causing these new delays?
Well, it seems, first of all, thank you for having me today. An exciting day for the Department of Revenue. we're on track this year. We've processed about 2.4 million tax returns so far this year, and we are expecting another 500,000 or so to come in today alone to hit our target of about 3.1 million or more. So we're on schedule. We haven't had any delays on our end. The IRS, I do work on an IRS committee and work with them. They did have cuts of about 25% of their staff. So we've heard some delays, but it's not impacting our state tax processing as of yet.
It's good news.
So what is the difference this year in what the IRS is doing versus previous years that are creating some of these delays for others, not in Wisconsin, as you so rightly point out?
Well, some of theirs is just around their staff. So with their staff cuts, they've had some issues with their customer service availability to help people. Their call wait times are about 2 hours. I'll tell you, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue average wait time is about 2 minutes right now. So when we're staffed properly and with the right technology, we can provide the results that taxpayers expect. Right now, the IRS is just struggling with some of the cuts they've had and some of the delays and the technology improvements.
Now, what is the biggest mistake, David, that you see Wisconsin taxpayers making when it comes to paying their state income tax?
Well, first of all, the biggest mistake, and it's not really a mistake, is filing by paper. Right now, we have 97% of our taxpayers are filing electronically. That means 3% will file by paper. About a day and a half to process our electronic tax forms. If it's by paper, it can take up to a week or two to process. Wow. So while a mistake, it just delays it, delays getting your refund.
We are talking with David Casey. He is the Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Revenue. So when we're talking about some of these mistakes and some of these delays, and some people who are counting on these refunds each and every year, what kind of impacts do we see when the IRS at the federal level is experiencing some of these setbacks?
Well, sometimes it can be a delay in some of the data getting to us, but right now we're not seeing that. One of the things to avoid making mistakes, I would suggest, is that you have all your documentation put together and use the electronic filing methods that are available. So for documentation, you should have all your Social Security numbers and information. You should have your income documents, your W-2s, your 1099s, your deduction records, so any credits that you're taking. And make sure that you have your bank information, so your routing number in your account. If you have all of that, everything should go through smoothly. It's when some of that's not provided in a timely manner that causes delays, both on the federal side and on the state side.
David, I know with the on the federal level, I can go to irs.gov and I can track my refund. Is there a resource like that for my Wisconsin refund?
Absolutely. If you go to revenue.wi.gov, right on our front page is a refund lookup and refund check. So you can just hit the link there, and I believe you'll type in what the refund amount you're expecting and some other identifying information, and you can check on the status. Typically, though, like I said, if you're filing electronically, our refunds are getting out in about a day and a half.
Wow.
I'll also note that right now our refunds are averaging just over $1,000. So people are starting to see the effect of the tax cut that Governor Evers signed into law last year.
David, I know that there's a lot of young filers maybe filing for the first time. What advice would you have for them this year if they haven't already filed, because time seems to be a ticking today?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. We put a big emphasis and reaching out to young filers. We went on to the UW campuses and interviewed and really did a big social media push to get new filers to file electronically. One of the areas that we offer this year, we've actually offered it for 5 years, is our WizTax. So you can file online at the Department of Revenue's website for free. It's secure, it's fast. Last year, we teamed that with the direct file with the IRS, but because of some of the cuts they made this year, the IRS dropped that ability for taxpayers to file online, but we kept ours. So a new taxpayer, they can do it on their phone. They can go onto their phone and use WizTax to file their tax return.
Perfect. And before we let you go, David Casey's our guest. He's the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. There are people who today are like, I owe both the state, I owe the feds, I don't have the money. What do I do? Maybe I'll just skip filing and file later when I have some money. Not a good move, correct?
That is not a good move. File. file your return. Tell us what you owe. We can arrange payment agreements. Both the state of Wisconsin can and the IRS can. So it's important that you file. If you don't file, there are associated penalties with filing late, and then you accrue penalties and interest. So do the right step, file as soon as you can, get that done today, and then we can work out payment arrangements if you need after that.
I was going to say the state's okay if you file, because you'll come and find your money. It's just once we don't file, that's when we get in trouble, right?
Exactly. And it's a lot more painful if you don't file than if you file and we just arrange for a payment agreement. We're pretty good with that.
Well, happy tax day, David. I know this is a big day for you at the Department of Revenue. David Casey is secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Thanks for your time and your expertise today, David. We appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. It is tax day. Get your filing in. You have till midnight. So get it done. Even if you owe money and you don't have it, you'll be fine.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.